This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out. Subscribe. Appreciate everyone that watches there. Of course, not just this show, but High Hopes, Go Birds, Clap Your Hands, and all the clips of our shows on WIP. All right, so Phillies lose last night. A brutal night for baseball. I mean, that was an all-timer in terms of basically 7 hours from when first pitch was scheduled for when you bought your tickets, if you had tickets or just want to watch the game or listen to the game, to when they actually played. Brutal night. I don't understand why they played that game. I guess both teams really wanted their day off today. With the Reds going home before their opener, and of course the Phillies heading down to D.C. for an off day before they go play the Nats this weekend. But that was a tough loss because Zach Wheeler pitched very well, very well. I mean, his strikeout-to-walk ratio is sterling to start the season. He looks like a Cy Young kind of pitcher, which we expected. But they didn't hit, and they didn't score any runs. Other than a Kyle Schwarber home run last night, nothing. And there's a lot of issues right now with the Phillies' offense. And there's one thing that keeps hitting me as I keep looking for the answers and looking how they get better and look where they could have gone in a different direction. One thing keeps coming back to me early in this season. But let's just run through some of the issues right now. Trey Turner is an issue. 0 for 4 last night, 2 strikeouts, hitting .217, 525 OPS. I know everything I say you could respond with, it's early, Joe. I know that. But this is what we have to go off of, what has happened so far. And Nick Castellanos last night did walk twice. They did get on base ahead of a rally where maybe something could have been different if they had a different roster construction. We'll get to that. But last night, 0 for 2, he struck out late, a 150 batting average. And the reason I bring up Castellanos to Turner is because early on, the conversation around those guys this offseason, and the Phillies made it about the team, but it's really about those guys, about their chase rate, about the ability to stop swinging at pitches outside the strike zone. Neither are doing that so far this season, especially Castellanos. So sometimes he goes up there and it's just like he has no idea where the ball is going. It's almost like he premeditates a swing decision. The ball's 2 feet outside. It doesn't matter. I think it's very difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. When you get to be over the age of 30 in baseball, these are your habits. You may be able to tweak something here and there, but to expect Castellanos and Turner to not swing a lot and swing at pitches outside the zone, it's probably not going to happen. It's who they are. They got to do damage in the zone. They need to get ahead in counts by avoiding some bad pitches and then take advantage when they have something to hit. They foul it off, they're screwed because they're going to strike out in the next pitch. So tough starts for those guys. Phillies aren't hitting, obviously, with runners in scoring position. Then there's the Johan Rojas situation, which every time it's said to me that it doesn't matter, but it does. Yes, if the Phillies' top guys hit, Rojas matters less. But, this is not like, in a pitching staff, in a starting pitching staff, the ace compared to the fifth starter. You could leave Zach Wheeler out there for 7 or 8 innings every start, and over the course of the season, the volume is going to be 200 innings. Meanwhile, you have a fifth starter. You could use an opener. You get the guy out after 2 or 3 innings on a bad night. He may pitch 80 innings or 100 innings, and then you piecemeal the rest together. When a player like Rojas starts, and he's started almost every game, and he's going to start a lot of games until they send him down or make a decision to go get an upgrade, he's going to get 3 or 4 at-bats. He gets the same number of at-bats in a game that he plays, if he plays the whole game, likely, and now the lineup might turn over one more time, but he could get the same number of at-bats as the cleanup hitter, four each. So he's going to impact the game. He's going to be part of the game. He's going to have his chunk of the game. And I know he got his first hit last night, which is great. It was an infield dribbler. He has not hit the ball out of the infield not one time this season. I'm not speaking about a hit. I mean just contact where the ball leaves the infield. This is little league stuff. Like the kid that couldn't hit the ball out of the infield, and the coach would say, bring them all, you know, come on in, move in, outfielders, infielders, because the kid can't hit. That's what it looks like right now with Johan Rojas. He is not striking out an inordinate number of times, but for his power profile, any strikeouts too much. He's not getting on base in any discernible way. His speed is mitigated because he doesn't get to first base. You can't steal first base. There's been so many of these guys over the years. Billy Hamilton was one. I remember for the Reds about, 10, 12 years ago. If he could just get on base, if he could just get to first base, he could steal 100 bases. Wonderful. And he obviously was a good defender too, but he couldn't hit. And with Rojas right now, it just doesn't look right. He just doesn't look like he's comfortable at all. And what caught me last night, and it's all part of the decision-making of this team and where they're at. So in the bottom of the sixth inning last night, Merrifield started, good career numbers off of Frankie Montas, the starter for the Reds. So he was at third. They started Rojas last night. That means Alec Bohm got the night off, and clearly he's the number one pinch hit option last night off the bench. Bottom of the sixth inning, two guys on, Phillies down two runs. It's a major moment in the game. It's a leverage moment of the game. Brandon Marsh coming to the plate. That's the spot right there. That's the spot for Alec Bohm. They brought a lefty in. The combination of those two things, and I know a lot of people want to see Marsh play every day and not be platoon. Marsh has not had a track record of hitting lefties. Alec Bohm has a long track record of hitting lefties and a track record of hitting with runners on base. That is the exact spot for Alec Bohm. They didn't do it. They let Marsh hit. He popped out. Later in the game, they use Bohm for Rojas. And after the game, Topper mentions that he was saving Bohm for Rojas' next at-bat. It's like having a pitcher. I mean, that was the old way of managing in the NL when you use your best bench bat because it's too early in the game. In a DH league, which we're in now, you shouldn't have to worry about that. If it's a moment that you think matters, sixth inning, that's the moment. But the Phillies operated last night as if there was a pitcher in their lineup where they knew the next time up, no matter what, they were going to pinch hit for that guy. That's ridiculous. Like the fact that we're there with Rojas shows you how little faith they have in him. It's not even a platoon thing. It's just late in the game. They don't want him up. That's a problem. So you think about all this stuff, the decision-making with Rojas, the fact that they're saving pinch hitters for later in the game, not using the biggest moment of the game for the best pinch hitter off the bench in that spot with the platoon advantage versus disadvantage with Bohm and Marsh and a lefty there. It was so obvious that was the spot for Alec Bohm. They didn't do it. And then you think about the struggles of Turner, the struggles of Castellanos. The only offense right now is Schwarber, who's had a nice start to the season, and three home runs out of Bryce a couple days ago. That's it. That's the offense right now. And as I watch this play out, I think about the decision-making of the Phillies this past offseason, where they decided to go in the direction of defense. They decided to go in the direction of Bryce Harper at first base, and you could take that for any way you want. You could say that's because they wanted to preserve his body, his right arm, with the coming off Tommy John a couple years ago. I don't know. I mean, it's very odd how the first base Bryce thing came about. Did the Phillies go to him? Did he go to them? I don't really know the truth on that. We know he's a first baseman. And we know they went with Rojas in the outfield. But the trickle effect to that is that Rhys Hoskins was shown the door. He was shown the door, and I don't think he wanted to be shown the door. And as you think about last year, what the Phillies missed, and early on this season, what they're missing, they're missing Rhys Hoskins. They're missing that kind of bat, a power, patience profile that has good swing decisions. That's Rhys Hoskins. So far this season, he has an even walk to strikeout ratio, three walks, three strikeouts. He's hit a pair of home runs. He has an on-base percentage over 400. He's played half his time at first base, half his time at DH.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The ironic part of this is all the reasons why the Phillies kind of spun it and we were told that they didn't bring Rhys back. Defense. And they wanted to go with you know, Bryce Harper's defense at first base, Yoan Rojas's defense in the outfield. Well, ironically, the issue right now is offense, not defense. And in the last few seasons, the furthest this team got, the closest they got to winning a world championship came with bad defense, came with Reese at first base. And Reese frustrated me at times. I mean, when you watch a player every day his whole career, you're going to see the flaws. And I got frustrated that he couldn't just be a little bit more buttoned up at first base. I was frustrated. But the more we are without Reese, the more I miss Reese Hoskins' bat in the lineup. And I think about the top of this lineup, right? I mentioned Schwarber sitting and Harper sitting. The Phillies for a year plus now have had an awkward thing where they don't know really what to do with Turner because he's got a name, but he doesn't play like that name right now. He doesn't hit like that name. He hasn't hit like that name outside of 2 months. So they bat him second because it breaks up the lefties and he has the highest upside. And then the fourth spot in the order, there's been no continuity for a year and a half, whether it be Castellanos, but we know he's way too up and down. I mean, he could be set records in the postseason and then not hit for 20-something straight play appearances. JT, I think he could do it, and it's probably the most, like, I guess, even-keeled. But JT's not going to have stretches of outrageous offense. He's just going to be more steady, pretty good, solid. Strike out maybe a little more than you want. Decent power, but not great. He's better as a sixth hitter. That's just what it's better if he's a sixth hitter. And then there's Alec Bohm, who does some good things there in terms of putting the bat on the ball, but there's very little power compared to what you would think you want in that spot. And I don't think pitchers fear him. We saw that last October when the Diamondbacks decided, yeah, Bryce Harper's not getting any other pitchers to hit. So I'm watching the Rojas situation play out at the bottom. It shouldn't matter as much as it does, but when no one else is hitting, it gets accentuated. And then the awkwardness of Trey Turner and Nick Castellanos, $400 million between those two players. They're not providing enough. They don't really do what you want in the spots that they have to fill, whether it be the two spot or the four spot in the order. And ironically, the defensive issue isn't really helping them right now because they can't hit. They're pitching. The defense hasn't been great, but it's not killing them. And the offense is the issue. I think the Phillies messed some things up here, and they're going to have to remedy them as the season goes along by going to get a bat. They missed Reese Hoskins. They missed that kind of bat. He could have batted second when Trey stunk. He could have batted fourth when everybody else can't do it. And the defensive thing, like it feels like a charade with Rojas that the whole league's going to pick up on pretty quickly here. The Phillies are playing with eight batters, and they're treating the ninth batter late in games like he's the pitcher. I couldn't believe what Topper said out loud. Well, we had to save Bohm for that. What are you talking about? We're not using the best bench bat that day in the most important spot of the game because we know we have to pinch hit for the next guy? That's an uncomfortable spot. And if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'm hearing that and saying, my manager has no trust in my center field that he could do anything in any sort of situation. Tucker, the Phillies offense is a mess right now as they fall last night to the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, they're getting good pitch. Outside of Nola on Saturday, their starting pitching has been more than good enough to have won most of these games, and yet they're 2-4 right now.
Yeah, and I think it's because of the offense, right? And you hear people complaining about the pitching, about the bullpen, because the way Brogdon imploded in his two outings. Yoan Rojas has obviously been a source of a lot of fans' frustration, but I think it comes down to the guys at the top of the lineup haven't really produced. I mean, Bryce Harper obviously hit 3 home runs on Tuesday night, but outside of that, he hasn't really done much. Kyle Schwarber leads the team in singles. I think he has 6 singles and a pair of home runs, but other than that, the top of the lineup hasn't really done much. Brandon Marsh, you could argue, might have been their best hitter on a game-to-game basis so far, and I think the reason they're 2-4 right now, they're hitting 157 as a team with men on base. They have an OPS of 488 with men on base. And even just look at last night's game, they had opportunities to score runs, right? They loaded the bases in the sixth. They had a couple other opportunities late in that game where they got a guy on and you know, maybe one more hit. We're talking about a different situation. But, yeah, right now it's the offense for me. And you mentioned this is a team that isn't all in on their offensive approach the way they have been in years past. And as a result, guys like Turner, guys like Castellanos, who you are paying for their offensive output, you damn sure aren't paying them for their defense, because you could argue that the two of them and the way that they've played defense has cost the team quite a few runs the last couple of days. But the fact that they aren't producing and the fact that this offense right now just has nothing cooking for him unless their first baseman hits three home runs, including a grand slam, that's an issue. I don't know what Rob Thompson can do with the bullpen if the offense is scoring two runs a night at this point.
I don't know either. And like I think the Rojas discussion is going to take on a big thing because he's the only thing they could switch out, right? They can't get rid of Trey Turner. I mean, I tried last year. That's not really realistic. They can't get rid of Castellanos. So they're going to keep playing those guys, and they're going to just cross their fingers they hit. The Rojas lever can be pulled. They could do something else there. And I just don't know how much longer, and whether it's Marsh every day with Merrifield out there with them, or it's give Pache a chance. I don't know how much longer you keep a guy on the roster that the manager telegraphs, I have to get him out of the game late, and it affects how I manage the game. That's what pitchers used to be in the National League. Is it taking on a bigger thing because of the guys at the top not hitting? Yeah, of course. Of course, if Trey and Castellanos are hitting, we're not worried about this because they're winning. But they are. And I continue to have my eye on it. This team misses Rhys Hoskins. They miss that kind of player. Maybe it's not him, and maybe you were tired of him, or maybe you wanted to keep him. But like that kind of player, the eye at the plate, you could bat him second, you could bat him fourth, he could protect Bryce Harper, he could hit home runs, he would make good swing decisions. Those kind of things are hard to replicate. And the gap in the offense that they would have gotten or could have gotten from Rhys compared to the upgrade of defense they're getting with, say, Bryce and Rojas, it's not evening out for me right now. Over 162, will it? We're going to find out. But that's I have a feeling that they're going to have to remedy the offense this summer, and we're going to look back and be like, they could have just kept Rhys Hoskins. They chose not to. Philly's offense needs to wake up because the pitching – starting pitching, I've been impressed by. Wheeler's off to a Cy Young start. The middle of the rotation, back end, very good. They're going to pitch fine. The offense needs to wake up. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. We'll talk soon.